unspeakable gift. Notice this, though. God's indescribable. The word indescribable, we'll catch it later. Together with unspeakable, this is the only time you find this word in the New Testament, in the Greek language. Jesus, the greatest gift of all time. And here's the question. How do we wrap our minds around the greatness of this gift? How do you do it? When you think of Christ, when you think of who he is, if you think of the purpose that he came for, if you look what transpired, and you look at God became man, and how do you describe God? But Jesus is God. So how do we wrap our minds around the greatness of the gift? So we're going to pause for a moment, and we're going to love how big God is. You get an idea of this indescribable and unspeakable gift given to us. This God that took upon himself the form of man. This God that took human flesh upon him. Lived among us for a reason and a purpose. And you see, the birth of Jesus is no coincidence. And man had nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. If you want to, they were virtually pawns in the hands of God. That's what the correct saying. But God, in his greatness, orchestrated this entire thing. It's by design. In it, we see the providence of God. We see the sovereignty of God, that God can overrule, that God can influence, that if God plans, no man can stop it. Absolutely no man can stop it. God is great. God is awesome. God is majestic. God is sovereign. Do we understand the sovereignty of God? No, we don't. Can God do as he pleases? Yes. As he pleases, yes. But he can't do something that's contrary to his nature. Because God is holy. God is just. And so we see the sovereignty of God, but through it also, we see the finger of God in all of it. In other words, the prophets of old, 700-800 years ago, prophesied about this. Oh, we're not familiar with those teachings, except now we can read it. But we weren't part of the Jewish culture. But the prophets, 700-800 years prior to the birth of Jesus, prophesied about this stuff. Prophesied of what's going to happen. They prophesied about the Messiah coming, Jesus coming. Regardless of what the philosophers of the world say, regardless of the teachers, regardless of the theologians, what they may say, contrary to the word of God, God overrules all of that. And the fact is undeniable. God became man. Undeniable. We see within the prophecies, the place where he would be born, 700-800 years before he would be born. We see not only the place, we see who he's going to conceive. And we've been through that a few times already over the years. How does the virgin conceive? And the Holy Spirit made her pregnant. How did he do that? Not only do we see that the person would be a virgin, we come to the conclusion that man never came up with any of these ideas. Only God did. Because man was at enmity with God. So what good can man come up with when he's the enemy of God? But then we must look beyond the fact that man was the enemy of God, and we see the love of God towards the enemy, which you and I were the enemy. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, separated from God. But God never pushed us aside. And that's why we quote that beautiful scripture, we've learned it from childhood, for God so loved. Oh yeah, what did he love? Yeah, what was the condition of the world? Sin. Separated from God. At the Bible, actually, within the King James, we were at enmity with God. Wow. So, did we reach out to him or did he reach out to us? We would not reach out to him. He reached out to us. So, we see this entire gift is all God's design. And that's why we find this word indescribable, unspeakable in 2 Corinthians 9:15. The only time you'll see it. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Oh, we give presents. It's a time of giving presents to each other. We give to Crossway for the times we've enjoyed this year. But here it is, an indescribable gift, the New King James Version. The next version shows you something different. Another word. Thanks be unto God for his what? Indescribable, unspeakable. Paul was raising money from the churches that he had founded to bring to Jerusalem. And he was speaking of the Macedonians. He was speaking of churches that had nothing, but they were giving. And at one time they were begging, we want to give, we want to give. And they gave so much for the Christian church that was struggling in Jerusalem. And then to wrap this off, because it starts in chapter 7, chapter 8, and in chapter 9 we get to this, where he ends this chapter and he says, but thanks be unto God for the unspeakable gift. He was raising money, but now he's speaking about Jesus. Because we've also found that when you love Jesus, you give. We saw the churches that were struggling were great givers. And yet you and I, we find in this day and age, and we find in our fellowship over here, we've become givers. Why? We're following the leader. He's a giver. And the word unspeakable means what cannot be related, unutterable. Occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. And the idea is that no words can properly express the greatness of the gift given to man. Let's try and unpack that. Let's try and unfold it. Let's try and digest it. Let's try and dissect it. How do we do it? When mortality has got to understand immortality. How do we do it when the finiteness of man tries to comprehend the infinity of God? How do we do that? Einstein couldn't do it, regardless of his intelligence. You and I can't do it. We read the story over and over, and we read the scriptures, and we speak about it, but we don't fully understand and comprehend the greatness of this gift. Indescribable. Unspeakable. Above what the mind can conceive, greater than language can express. But what was the thought? What was the motive? What was the drive behind this gift? Oh, we give gifts, right? Sometimes we give gifts because we love the people. Other times we give the gift just because we have to give the gifts. It's expected of us to do it. But what was the thought? What was the motive? What was the reason for this indescribable gift? Notice the Savior, Jesus, the Messiah, is a gift to mankind. Something odd. What's so odd? A gift to mankind. Why not a gift to the angels? Nope. They weren't created in the likeness and the image of God. You and I am. So we find the gift is a savior to mankind. In other words, man had no claim on God. He could not compel him to provide a plan of salvation. And the whole arrangements, the selection of the Savior, the sending him into the world, and all the benefits resulting from him coming to earth are all an undeserved gift to mankind. Did we earn it? Did he owe it to us? No. No. So why in the heck did he give it? Because... don't you think that's nuts? To love somebody that's at enmity with you? Don't you think it's nuts to give a gift to somebody that doesn't like you? Yeah, it's nuts. So is God nuts? No. Beautiful love that goes beyond the understanding, that goes beyond the comprehension. We cannot digest it. We cannot wrap our heads around this thing. The gift is unspeakably great, whose value no language can express. No heart can fully conceive and understand this gift. And regardless of the greatness of the gift, it's so sad to see so many people reject this gift. If only you'll take the gift. Oh man, this gift is loaded. It's loaded with benefits. It's loaded with perks. There's just so much in this gift. But no, we'd rather have Santa Claus. Nope. And so you and I have a responsibility to firstly say thank you for the gift and then to share the gift with others. Incapable we are of being adequately in the position to express the greatness of this gift. Unspeakable. Paul calls it, as we saw, indescribable. What is indescribable? The gift. But who's the gift? Jesus. So that means Jesus is indescribable. Why would he be indescribable? Because he's God. So how do you explain God? That you haven't seen? How do you explain God that you can't comprehend to the fullest extent? So what do we know about God? Virtually nothing, except for what has been revealed to us. God is love. God is peace. God is joy. So why in the world would you not accept the gift that is joy, that is love, that is peace? Everybody else tries to give you joy. Everybody tries to make you joyful. Everybody tries to have peace with you. But now, yeah, we have the author of love, and he doesn't give love. He is love. He doesn't give peace. He is peace. And you and I can have him in our lives. Why would we not accept that? Paul says, indescribable. Why? Because of his nature. So how do you describe Jesus? What words would you choose? How do you describe a baby that was born from a virgin? How do you describe God in flesh? Let our minds wrestle with that. Let's try and put it in words. Let's try and put it in emotions. How do we describe God becoming flesh? How do we describe God walking upon the earth and reaching out to the hurting masses of society? How do we describe that? You can't. It's indescribable. So if it's indescribable and I can't describe it, what would my answer be? Oh, very simple for those of you that come here quite often. Get over it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the gift. Enjoy Him. Stop getting in the world of fascination and working it out theologically, because we cannot, because it's impossible for that which is human to understand that which is divine. So how much knowledge do you and I have? Who's the most intellectual person in this building? Don't raise your hand. Based on what? But who of us can be equated? Who of us can be on the same par as God? How much knowledge does He have? All-knowing? How many places can you be at one time? At God? I know when you have too much coffee or something else, your mind may think you're in another place. Especially when you take the white powder that's in the White House. I mean, that sends you in another place. But in any case, we're not there. But in any case, we find that. How do you describe God in flesh? How do you describe Him walking on earth? Oh, Isaiah said He would be called Emmanuel. God with us. So is He restricting Himself in the presence of people, or is He still omnipresent? Once again, how do you describe that? What words would you choose? How do you describe that which is spirit when all we have ever known is that which is either physical or material? Because God is not a man that we see. That's why He took upon Himself the form of man. But when I look at the scriptures and I go through the, try and understand the birth of Jesus Christ, and I recognize that everything I know is either physical or material, but the Bible says God is spirit. That's another level. So I can't understand until understanding has been given to me. I cannot comprehend until it has been revealed to me. And the Holy Spirit will reveal certain things, but not everything. But what I do know, the Bible says, one day when I see Him, I will be like Him. I will know Him. That's a long time to wait, but that's okay. How do you describe God who has all knowledge when all we have is limited knowledge? And so we have the boffins, and so we have the folks that are adamant and the folks that are arrogant that wants to say there is no God, but it's impossible for them to say there is no God. Maybe in their little confinement they can say there is no God. Maybe in Palmer there is no God, but maybe He's in Munson. Oh, you go to Munson, there is no God. Or maybe He's in Three Rivers. So you've got to be omnipresent before you can say there is no God. And so we try and work things out in our minds only to be made fools of. Because the creation, the creature, thinks he can outsmart the designer. Good luck. How do you describe God who is all-powerful? Oh, how do you describe God who is eternal? What is eternal? Forever and ever and ever. Can we relate to that which is eternal? No, we can't. No, we can't. So I'm asking you this evening, here we're sitting, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, which is a gift to man that Paul says is indescribable. Can I understand him? No, I can't. But I can believe in him. And when I believe in him, my life changes. So if you've got all these questions and you want to start out by denying God, stop doing that and just you say one thing. I'm going to be like a child and believe what he says. And I can guarantee you, when you surrender to Christ, your life will change. So recognize that I can't describe eternal. And then, of course, we've got to go quickly now. How do we describe indescribable? Paul says we can't. So if Paul says we can't, then don't try and do it. Because you can't do it. So why waste energy trying to describe it instead of enjoying him? God gives a gift, not because he feels obligated to give a gift. So why does he give the gift? Is he obligated to give us the gift? Nope. So why did he do it? Because God's love is overwhelming. Something that is craved in society today. Love to be loved. Craving. People are craving for that. But there's somebody that loves you. His name is Jesus Christ. Somebody who loves you, God the Father. He gives this gift because his love is overwhelming. And then I find out it's actually a gift of grace. Because he's not giving us what we deserve. He's giving us this gift of grace, which is unmerited favor. You don't own it. You don't have to work for it. It comes from him. I'm giving you not what you deserve. I'm giving you what I love. I love you. And my unmerited favor is being revealed through this indescribable gift. God's gift, Jesus, is indescribable because of his nature, because of his purpose in coming to earth, and because of the grace through Jesus Christ. And when you stop at the manger at Bethlehem and look at the Christ child, what do you see? Grace. You see grace. Did people accept it? No, they didn't. Did they reject it? Yes, they did. But over the years, people recognize they're fools. And some accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So accept what he had set out to accomplish on earth. Notice, he was born, he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose from the grave, so that all who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. In other words, God took the one that was at enmity with him and adopted him into the family. All because of Jesus. So this indescribable gift has got a huge impact on humanity. Huge. And this evening, I think it will be appropriate as we wrap this up to give thanks to the indescribable gift. Ponder for a moment. Where could I be without him? For us who have accepted Christ into our lives and we've decided to follow Christ and accept the fact that we are sinners now saved by grace, all because of this indescribable gift, our lives have changed. You may not be accepted by your fellow man. Your way of life may not be accepted by your neighbors. People most probably can't understand what you're doing in this place tonight. While others are having a great party and tomorrow they don't even know where they were the night before. Oh, that's life. Oh, sure. That's life. Wake up with a headache the next day. But I had a good time. No, you wasted money. You see, that kind of joy is circumstantial. It's only for a season. But the joy that the indescribable gift gives to us is eternal. So what do I actually have now? My life has become more stable. Do you know that if everyone in the world accepted the gift, there will be no murder? Do you know that if somebody accepted this gift or the world accepted this gift, there will be peace? If everybody accepted this gift in the world, the woman in New York would not have been set on fire and burned to death. But what are we experiencing? The depravity of man. And what makes this gift so indescribable for me, within our state of depravity, God reached out to us. And in the fullness of time, according to Galatians 4:4, God sent his son. In the fullness, when the time was ready. How did he know when the time was ready? Well, he set the time. But in the fullness of time, when everything was according to plan, he sent his son. What did I start off with by saying? God's design is everywhere to be seen. So does God know more than me? Absolutely. So if God knows more than me, should I not listen to him? Should I not follow him? Should I not obey him? Absolutely. Thanks be to God for his indescribable, unspeakable gift. Did Mary understand this? What did Mary know? She was 14, maybe 15. They say about 14. I know today's 14-year-olds tell everybody else we know nothing and they know everything, but I know 14, but not only was she 14, she was a rural girl. I mean, you think Three Rivers is bad? Wait a bit. She's a country bumpkin. What did she know? What did she know when the angel gave her the revelation? What did she know and comprehend when she was a virgin and you're going to have a baby? How did she understand that? He's going to be the ruler of the world. He's going to sit on the throne of death. Oh my gosh. Angel, I got a headache, man. Please, and it's not because I'm pregnant. It's just what you're telling me. Too much. And that's what I love about this song. Mary, did you know? Watch the clip. Mary, did you know? I think we got it up there, hopefully. Gift. Mary, did you know? But you and I can know him today. Can we pray together? Father, I